You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. We just had a call from Mark. He thinks that if you've broken the law and you're in prison, when you're serving that time, you shouldn't be able to vote. What do you think? Give us a text on 5395. Let us know if you think that's the case. In our next story, Sophia Graham is a communications and marketing manager for the Mental Health Foundation of New Zealand. The foundation has been concerned about the way suicide has been reported in the news recently, particularly following two high-profile people taking their lives. Lillian spoke to Sophia regarding the issues that have come up and how broadcasters can better talk about this issue.
So I guess we've known for decades about the implications of suicide reporting and that it can cause vulnerable people to take their lives, and that effect can be the most prominent when a celebrity or well-known person takes their life. So people who identify with them, not necessarily just their fans, but people who identify with them, who feel that they share common problems or think that they seem alike, will often then be led to think, look, it's not getting better for me. It definitely didn't get better for them. Why would it, when they had everything at their fingertips and they couldn't get better? Why would I have hope? And I think hopelessness is probably the number one thing that can lead to suicide. So people then go from having a sort of passive idea that they are feeling suicidal, that they're probably feeling a bit hopeless, that they might not want to go on, to forming an active plan. There's been studies in over 100 countries over the last sort of 40 or 50 years that sort of conclusively prove that effect. It can be sometimes called the Werther effect. And basically, it's not always just celebrities. It's any time we mention suicide method. You know, people don't find out about suicide methods because they, you know, sort of spontaneously think about them in their own minds. They find out about them from the newspaper, on the radio, watching TV. And people who are very vulnerable are very suggestible. And we also know that things like simplifying causes, because suicide is a very complex phenomenon, but often we try and say, oh, he was bullied, she was heartbroken, you know, there was the debt. We try and find one reason because, you know, we're human and we want to try and understand. But actually that makes it much more likely that a vulnerable person will hear that and think that perhaps suicide might be a rational and proportionate response to something that they're going through, particularly if it's the same thing. So we know that the risk increases in populations, for example, with Robin Williams. We know it was mostly middle-aged men who were affected by his suicide. There definitely was an increase in suicides around the world across a number of populations, but middle-aged men were particularly vulnerable. We've seen it in TV dramas, radio dramas, comedy shows, anywhere where suicide is presented in a way that suggest that it might be an option for people who are already vulnerable. It's not the general population. It's that 1 in 20 people who may already be thinking about suicide. They're the ones that we're particularly concerned about.
So this is not necessarily an issue of talking about it, because we do know that talking about these issues is really important.
Well, we know that talking about suicide prevention is very important, and I think that that's something that we really need to hammer through. We talk a lot about suicide. We raise a lot of awareness of suicide, and many researchers think that that's just raising awareness of suicide as an option. I think if you look at the way we talk about suicide compared to any other health issue, we have a remarkably romantic or sensationalized way of looking at it. It's this alarmist, oh, my God, it's happening. We all know it's happening. How do we stop it? That's not a discussion that we're having, and it's one that we urgently need to have. Every single article, news story, radio bulletin about suicide should be about suicide prevention. If you don't walk away from that story knowing at least what are the warning signs, how do I get help for myself, how do I reach out to someone else that I'm worried for, what does good help look like, what am I entitled to under the New Zealand health system, you know, what are some ways that we can prevent people from becoming suicidal? If none of those questions are answered, then we're not helping.
So what have been the problems recently in terms of, you mentioned in the press release there's been high-profile suicides.
Yes, yeah, so what? Obviously in the last week we've had Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain take their lives by suicide. And I've just been really disappointed by the volume and repetitiveness of the coverage. Publishing details from Suicide Note, using suicide in the headline, doing all the things we've known for decades not to do. There's so much. I had someone email me over the weekend and say, you know, I woke up, I saw Anthony Bourdain on the front page, and it took me right back to where I was 2 years ago. And I wondered, what is the point? Why would I go on? We know that people who are vulnerable are actively searching for information about suicide. They're looking for these articles, and we're making it very easy for them to find.
So what exactly are the things that are problematic in terms of having in these new reports?
So I think the number one thing would be any time that we mention method. That is an incredibly stupid thing to do. It's just never, it doesn't add anything to the story. Often people want to know, but that doesn't mean they deserve to know. It's a private thing. Including details from suicide notes is a very dangerous thing to do, using suicide in the headline. We also need to think about the volume and prominence of stories. There's just been a huge barrage of stories about suicide in the last week, and we're hearing a lot of distress from people worried about themselves or worried about someone else.
And is this because of celebrity, though?
Well, it was something with lots of stories about Anthony Bourdain and lots of stories about Kate Spade, and then that seems to trickle out into lots of opinion pieces about suicide and lots of discussion about suicide. And, you know, there's been op-eds and there's been stories republished from across the wire, and all of a sudden, it's a very emotive issue. People know that, you know, media know that their audiences click on those stories. They know that they stay tuned. They don't change the station when that's being talked about. And the public have a right to know what's going on, and that's, we absolutely don't dispute that. We just need to be more careful about how we talk about it.
How do we be more careful?
Well, it's making sure that we always have a suicide prevention angle would have to be the number one thing. Your audience should always go away knowing a little bit more about how to prevent suicide. Never discussing method, never including information from suicide notes. Not speculating about the causes of suicide, certainly not simplifying them. Don't use suicide in the headline. Keep articles from prominent positions on the home pages of websites or from the headlines of news bulletins. Always including help-seeking information, so ensuring that you read out at least one helpline, so for example 1737, when you are discussing suicide. Talking to people with lived experience is really important. We hardly ever hear from survivors, but recovery stories can be incredibly protective. It's probably the one thing where we have some research to suggest that there can be a protective effect by media coverage. Everything else, there's only research to suggest that it's negative or neutral. So the only way we know that can be protective is telling recovery stories. And there are lots of them, because suicidal thoughts are relatively common and suicide deaths are relatively uncommon.
Can you explain what that 1737 line is?
Yeah, sure. So it's funded by the Ministry of Health and run by Home Care Medical. So you can free call or text 1737 to speak with a trained counsellor at any time. It's free and confidential, and it can also be a way of accessing the mental health system without going through your GP.
That was Lillian Hanley talking to the Mental Health Foundation's Communications and Marketing Manager, Sophia Graham. If you need to talk to someone, no problem is too small to reach out with. Because of a new initiative backed by the government, you can call or text 1737 for free at any time. The idea behind it is sort of like calling 111, because they'll link you to a trained counsellor or any of the several helplines that we have. Or you can call Lifeline directly on 0800 543 354 or Suicide Crisis Helpline on 0508 828 865.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.